You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire.
On the 29th of July this year, three children were killed in a mass stabbing incident in the town of Southport in the United Kingdom. Following the killings, riots broke out across the United Kingdom after the attacker was falsely identified as a Muslim refugee on social media platforms such as Facebook and X, formerly known as Twitter. The riots have been led by members of far-right British organizations such as the English Defense League, who have targeted mosques, Muslim-owned businesses, and members of the Muslim community. I spoke to Dr. Neil Curtis, a professor of media and political theory in the Faculty of Arts at the University of Auckland, to discuss the cause of the UK riots and the rise of the British far right.
To start off, what's been happening in the UK leading up to the riots?
I suppose the change of government would be a significant thing. That's probably helped spark things because you don't have a Conservative Party in government anymore that's giving credence and legitimacy to racism and kind of the worst instincts of people. So maybe with the change of government, maybe the sort of the fascists and the neo-Nazis felt like they needed to actually take to the streets because they no longer had a government that was kind of sympathetic or in some way publicly echoing their cause. So that might be a run-up to it. There's all the sort of ongoing discourse and rhetoric around migrants and refugees that's been going on for a very, very long time. You've got the creation of the Reform Party, which are really a kind of far-right, light kind of party, kind of hyper-nationalistic, very racist, xenophobic. And I think Nigel Farage has done quite a lot in that area to sort of stoke racism and xenophobia in the UK, but particularly in England. I think we have to make sure we recognise that this is English and not British as such, or not really part of the UK. Although I think there was some riot in Belfast, potentially, so maybe it is outside of England as well. You've also got the social media context. I mean, you've got people like Elon Musk, for example, who's now very kind of out with his identification with far-right politics. And I think the fact that he's sort of turned Twitter into what a lot of people refer to as the Nazi bar, I think that's probably helped as well to foment this kind of language, because moderation seems to be a thing of the past on Twitter now, and you can say what you like as long as you don't criticise Elon Musk. So there's lots of things contributing to this. And of course, there's just a long history of fascist violence in England. You know, there's the very famous Battle of Cable Street, which was 1936, when fascists marched through part of London and there was a whole set of counter-protesters there. So this intermittently goes off. But I think the current context is still linked to all the discourse and the politics around Brexit and the ratcheting up of anti-migrant, anti-refugee, anti-Muslim rhetoric. So that's the context, I suppose.
Would you say that far-right sentiments have been on the rise or increasing in England in recent years?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they have been globally, right? Since the Americans referred to as the alt-right, which is the new trendy brand name for fascists and neo-Nazis. The alt-right emerged out of the Tea Party that was the beginnings of the transformation of the conservative movement in the US. You know, we're nearly coming up to sort of what you might call the 10th anniversary of the alt-right. And I think a lot of those attitudes and communication methods, political tactics have filtered through the mainstream. I mean, legacy media have been very supportive of the alt-right, constantly profiling people that fit with that kind of politics, alt-right or alt-light as they're sometimes called. Yeah, it's been growing for a long time. So this is the culmination of really a sort of 10 years of what I'd specifically call a fascist turn. I mean, I was writing about the fascist turn in 2015, so it's nothing new to me. It's just been boiling away and now it's sort of coming to a head and they feel emboldened because so many very powerful people, particularly in the US tech industry, are now giving legitimacy to this form of politics. But that's another thing altogether.
Can you tell us a bit more about how the far right uses social media to spread propaganda and attract new recruits?
Well, given that there's particularly increasingly now on platforms like Twitter, complete lack of any kind of moderation, and you know, neo-Nazis have been invited back by Elon Musk. I mean, these are people who are openly neo-Nazi, right? I'm not just accusing them of being neo-Nazi. They self-identify as that. The fact that so much of this stuff around I mean, these groups will always use these kind of forums to promote their ideas, and they'll link them to all kinds of outrages, which are either real or fictional. And also because the algorithms on the platforms are constantly looking for what they call engagement, right? So the kind of content that gets people going is often stuff that's sort of scandalous and quite violent. So the platforms themselves push this material.
Perhaps going off of that, would you say that Elon Musk's acquisition of Twitter and new content policies have diminished efforts to combat misinformation and far-right propaganda?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's actively on Twitter now. I mean, even the UK government has been critical of him for tweeting the other day how civil war is inevitable, you know, in response to these riots. I mean, clearly giving legitimacy to what's being done. But, you know, the thought that this activity is inevitable is a pretty shocking thing. But then, you know, these are very, very powerful people who hold extremely far-right political views and are profoundly anti-democratic, openly anti-democratic, and would like the democratic system to collapse. So they're putting a lot of their money into trying to help that happen and promote all kinds of far-right causes. So, yeah, there's definitely been a shift in the social media climate, the social media environment, that has made it much easier for these groups to communicate. I think the other place is Telegram. Telegram seems to be sort of fairly open to this kind of activism and seems to be doing little to stop it. So there's various platforms that could be held responsible, I think.
Can we still say that the far right in England is just a fringe movement, or are far right views becoming more mainstream in English society?
And yes, I think this is the problem, right? I think Brexit was the mainstreaming of far-right agenda. I mean, over the last 10 years, we have somehow got to a position, and this is in particularly in the US, but it's also prevalent in the UK and across Europe, where a fascist mentality is just another opinion, and another opinion to be debated and a legitimate opinion to hold. And I sort of know how we got there, but I struggle to sort of make sense of it a lot of the time, that how we got to that point where people with fascist views are seen as someone with, you know, legitimate opinions or legitimate grievances or whatever. But yes, it's been mainstreamed throughout by legacy media, mainstreamed by politicians. You know, Boris Johnson rode that wave. I mean, got David Seymour's very much, I would say he's kind of quite aligned and happy to support that kind of a position. Probably say that violence is not the answer, but he's prepared to court very far-right views. Winston Peters, with his desire to inspect people's genitals in toilets, you know, he's accommodating those kind of far-right attitudes around gender. Not so long ago, we had Judith Collins doing her own version of It's Okay to Be White, which is a sort of little kind of alt-right meme that went round. You know, so it's crept in all kinds of ways into mainstream politics, and it was definitely part of Brexit, definitely part of Boris Johnson's racism and xenophobia, definitely part of Johnson's election. So yeah, we've let it in, and it's growing. And why people wanted to let it in, I do not know. Although I understand where a lot of the grievances come from, and they're not really to do just with racism, they're to do with inequality and people being disadvantaged and alienated and so on and so forth. But that's another complex issue itself.
Just one more thing. What do you think needs to be done to address the rise of the far right we're currently seeing?
Well, you do everything from bringing in some kind of regulation around moderating content on social media, all the way through to addressing really, really big questions about inequality. I mean, the government here seems hell-bent on strip mining public assets and underfunding public services. And I think if you put a lot of pressure on people economically, if they feel their job's under threat or they can't access doctors or they can't get into a hospital or, you know, the transport links aren't there for them, sort of all the usual sort of social stuff that supports people in their everyday life, if you have a series of really antisocial governments like the UK has had for the last 14 years and the sort of government we've got now in New Zealand, I think you heighten people's sense of precarity, you heighten people's sense of anxiety, and therefore you make them prone to the kind of language of scapegoating that sort of blames, you know, you can say, oh, it's the migrant that's taking your job. It's not the migrant. It's not the powerless who are the problem. It's the powerful. But the powerful don't want us looking at the powerful. They want us looking at the powerless. So there's a whole, the small local issues around social media that we could deal with, all the way to the massive sort of structural macroeconomic things that we need to deal with. But unfortunately, it seems nobody's really interested in either at the moment, and we're just going to carry on with rising inequality, antisocial politics, depletion of public services and so on, and an uptick in racism, discrimination and xenophobia.
And that was Dr. Neil Curtis from the University of Auckland talking to us about the recent riots in the UK and the rise of the British far right.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.